Live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
You know, I woke up this morning, I didn't even have to look, and I already knew that we were at war with somebody, you know, somewhere, something, you know, damn it. All right, so now we got Scott Horton on, get our weekly checkup on what's going on in the Trump administration and war and such. So, and oh, we got to get pimp out LibertarianInstitute.org. LibertarianInstitute.org, you know, start to get some good articles over there, and we used them on Freedom's Phoenix, and thank you, Mr. Scott Horton. Okay. ScottHorton.org. Yeah, ScottHorton.org. All right. Now,
that's very kind of you, Ernie. Thanks.
You're very welcome.
Hi. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. Well, is it happy? I mean, you know, tell me, we had the State of the Union or address to Congress or whatever the heck they called it. And, you know, we did the Trump report yesterday. And I'll tell you, you know, Frank was going on about, Dr. Frank, he said, hey, man, it's all about... he didn't fall on his face or, you know, whiz himself or anything. And then all of a sudden the Democrats freaked out and they were like, oh, my God, he's like, you know, he could talk and he didn't spittle all over himself or something. And he must be, now he's presidential. And I'm going, no, let me tell you what happened. There's boxes to check. And it was box one, I love Israel. Box two, we don't like this guy. Box three, we're going to, you know, increase infrastructure spending. Box four, we're going to increase the military. Box five, we're going to do more debt. And box six, I mean, I go, he checked off all these boxes. And they go, okay, I guess he's president now. He's the same as us, is how I saw it. How do you see it?
Well, I mean, it's National Socialism, right? He got up there and he said, there is no problem that can't be solved. And he was, of course, talking about by the U.S. government. And he went on to say, there's no sadness that can't be healed. There's no hope that can't be bolstered.
And I haven't heard anything about freedom, though, I can tell you that.
Yeah, no, he never mentioned freedom or liberty a single time ever in the last 2 years he's been running. He's never heard of either of them. He doesn't hold them as values at all. He doesn't even hold them as good PR shtick. He doesn't even realize that that's what you want to hear, Ernie, is how far divorced he is from the concept of liberty. You know, it's just not his way. And if you listen to what he talked about in the speech, well, first of all, for all the libertarians for Trump on the war issue, he said a couple of things like, oh, geez, I'm not supposed to be the leader of the whole wide world. I'm just the leader of America here and this kind of thing. But he did not say, therefore, I'm going to stop bombing Afghanistan, Pakistan, Yemen, Somalia, Libya, Syria, Iraq. I'm not going to, you know, he didn't say anything about scaling down rather than building up forces in Eastern Europe in such a provocative way. We're going to talk about Russia here in a little while. But he didn't say anything about, therefore, I'm rolling back the empire. Therefore, I'm taking half the Marines out of Okinawa. Therefore, I'm going on vacation to North Korea and see if I can't make friends with this new UN and try to work things out with them. Nothing like that. Nothing like that at all. No announcement of any reduction of America's foreign commitments whatsoever. So then you want to go, okay, well, at least he's not Hillary. At least he's not Hillary. And I feel that way too, in a way. Well, yeah, no, I do feel that way. Full stop. But then you listen to what he had to say about domestic politics. He didn't say anything about we need sound money or anything like that. What he really said was, you know, the era of big government never did end, and now it's unapologetically back. And, you know, he sounds really like Franklin Roosevelt on, you know, the whole New Deal. And if you read Burton, what's the guy's name? I'm sorry, the guy that wrote New Deal or Raw Deal, Burton Folsom. Burton Folsom wrote this book, New Deal or Raw Deal, where he showed that the whole New Deal, and never even mind your libertarian ideology, right? Like if you're a liberal Democrat listening to this show right now or a conservative Republican listening to this show right now, all FDR did with all those make work programs was buy votes in certain districts where he needed them the most. That's all it was. There's nothing else to it. There was no, it wasn't even an attempt at, oh, public works spirited stimulus for the entire economy. It was simple vote buying in certain districts to guarantee that permanent Democratic majority. That's
okay,
all it was.
So this
that's
is,
all we're going to see under Trump is a bunch of FDR national socialism.
Okay, so Trump is making the point that, inner city, yeah, we're going to, you know, the black community, he's not really saying a racial thing, I don't think. He's just going to urban this, and we're going to do that, and so on.
Yeah, we're going to build up police power there, because
okay,
what
now,
those
now
poor
what
blacks
he's looking
need
at,
is
though,
to be enforced harder. You know, that'll make them stop committing crimes and stuff. We'll just send the National Guard in, I guess.
Okay, well, the point that I was getting to is that he could easily just look at a voting result from the election of where and precincts and what he did and didn't, and kind of you get a gerrymandered map of the red opposition of that's where I need to put money and buy votes and right there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and that's coming. I mean, that's where the $1 trillion of new domestic spending. I mean, it's just like Obama. And this is the thing that people are going to have, you know, they're going to have to get over. I mean, I think the best comparison here, at least so far, is not George W. Bush. It's Obama. Donald Trump is Barack Obama, and his Russian policy is actually just like Obama's. Glenn Greenwald pointed that out in an essay the other day. This is what was good about Obama, was he could have been a lot worse on Russia. Doesn't mean he was really good on Russia. I mean, hell, he sent U.S. Army to train the Ukrainian army. That's not good. He sent up a bunch of trucks and equipment, but he didn't send them all the arms that John McCain wanted him to do.
Okay, kind of thing, okay, so. Okay. Well, you mentioned, you said it. John McCain, what the F is going on there, man?
Well, I mean, the guy's completely crazy. And, you know, as long as I'm on the radio in Phoenix today, screw you guys for continuing to elect this guy and afflict him on the rest of mankind in this way. It's just not fair.
Yeah, hey, man, I'm, you know, like I trust the system here. You know,
Well, he wins by huge percents every time because he's a crony, man. He's in on it. You know, his wife is, you know, runs the fascist alcohol cartel in Arizona. So, I mean, they're completely built into the state there. The guy, I actually was asking, I guess it was Con Hallinan or James Carden. I think I was asking James Carden about what is it with McCain, and he pointed out some essay about McCain or some kind of long form story about McCain, about how he really just, and you already know this, right? It just rings so true. He really is not interested in the truth of anything, or really even trying to think things out really at all. What he really is interested in more than anything is just moving, action. Being where the action is, being the center of attention, saying a thing and loudly proclaiming his moral superiority to those who don't have the courage to fight. And it's playing that role. It doesn't matter whether he's talking about invading Madagascar or Outer Mongolia. You know, what matters is that he's picking a fight and that people are paying attention to him. Bill Kristol is telling him, wow, you really remind me of Teddy Roosevelt, John, or whatever. This is the thing that drives him. And so, and of course, you know, there's no better boogeyman than Russia, because they legitimately do have the power to destroy us completely with their hydrogen bombs. So,
well, what's going on, you know, to get them all worked up? Is Ukraine still a big issue? Is it, you
absolutely
know, the Crimea?
They're fighting again in Ukraine right now.
Really? All right. Yeah. Tell me everything.
You know what? We're about to go to break, though. But when we get back from the break, why don't you ask me the same thing again about what is the deal with us and Russia anyway? I got some tweets from a follower on Twitter last night who, you know, to paraphrase roughly, is just convinced because everyone seems to think that Russia is such a problem. How could it be that I'm right and everyone else is wrong? So I want to confront that consensus.
All right. When we come back, Russia, are the Russians coming? Do we care? You know, are they bringing their wallets? I mean, you know, saw what you get older, man. You just see. It's the same.
Uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. That's what the readers of FreedomsPhoenix.com get every day. FreedomsPhoenix.com constantly providing the information, the real news about government policies, and the real relationship we all have with the coercive government. The real condition of the economy, innovations in technology, breakthroughs in energy, health, and computer science. Learn the truth well before it's admitted to in the lamestream media. The corporate media, nothing more than distributors of government propaganda. But now there's an alternative. FreedomsPhoenix.com. Constant news updates on the issues that affect your life in the most important ways. With liberty and property under constant attack, FreedomsPhoenix.com provides the understanding behind the propaganda, and it encourages the participation of its readers. Go to FreedomsPhoenix.com. That's Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. FreedomsPhoenix.com. The revolution between the ears has already happened.
If you enjoy LRN.FM, please contribute to your favorite shows via their websites and become an amplifier at amp.lrn.fm. That's amp.lrn.fm.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
Oh, and we're right back. Yeah, I'm distracted with you going, Scott Horton going to explain Russia to us. You know, one thing that I was looking on the site here, we're going over some of the stories, and that'll be coming up here in a little bit on the site. Sweden reactivates military draft over concerns about Russia aggression. So when Sweden starts drafting people, it makes you go, hmm. So why is Sweden starting to, you know, reactivate their military draft, Scott? What's up?
Public relations.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's nothing but a stunt. And in fact, this is, I mentioned the guy on Twitter last night. That was one of the first things he said. Oh, my God, they're reactivating the draft. Yeah, so, I mean, show me once where Russia ever threatened Sweden. Can't threaten Sweden. This is a game, man. They're selling Lockheed products, first and foremost. Which brings me to the entire concept of what the hell is going on here, which is that it's all America's fault. I mean, give me a break. As though people don't already know that Bill Clinton is the worst person in the world. Would it really shock and amaze your audience if I told you that Bill Clinton really screwed up everything? Because he broke George H.W. Bush's promise to the Russians that they would not expand NATO east of Germany if the Russians would agree to go ahead and abolish the Warsaw Pact and the Soviet Union and bring their troops back behind the Ural Mountains, 1,000 miles to the east of where they used to be stationed. Sounds like a pretty fair deal to me. And Bill Clinton broke it. And the reason Bill Clinton broke it is because he wanted to be reelected president. Public choice theory. There's a lot of Polacks live in Illinois. And
you know,
he needed to win Illinois. So he said, let's bring Poland into NATO and let's give a bunch of welfare to Poland. And that'll be really good for getting Democratic voters in Illinois and securing the election of Bill Clinton in 1996. And that's why he did it.
Well, no, it's all about, you know, the wartime president gets reelected and they're second kind of, you know, and forever and always, and they have that reinforced to them, and you got to, and let's go bomb somebody and something. I hopefully Trump doesn't fall for this, but I'm not sure if he's, see, I'm afraid that he's negotiating, you know, my rights away for something. You know, it's going to be, you know, okay, well, I'll give you this and we'll do that if I get this or my tax reform or I get to build my wall or something. You know, he's going to get what he wants. I just don't know what it is. And then you have opposition like Congresswoman, what's her name, Tulsi Gabbard or whatever. She's just did a bill to stop the U.S. from arming terrorists in Syria. She goes, hey, you want to solve this problem? Well, quit giving them guns, dummy. You know, so this is, how's Trump see that? I mean, is he coming out and tweeting against her? Hey, she don't get it. Or is he supportive or ignoring her? I mean, what's going on?
He's ignoring her. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, as far as I'm aware, her bill's going nowhere, even though this is really his position going back 4 years ago. There's one tweet from him from 2013 saying this is crazy that we're arming these rebels in Syria. We don't know who these guys are, which is a very, very nice way of saying, yes, we do. They're Osama bin Laden's men.
Yeah.
And he's been against that this whole time. And now here she's saying, yes, sir, Mr. President, that's what I'm saying, too. Remember, she went and met with him at Trump Tower. Oh, all the liberals want to cry their eyes out. She's like, look, I went there to tell him, hey, before a bunch of right-wing warmongering hawks get to you and tell you that we got to take out Assad, let me tell you why, hell no, we don't. before, let me inoculate you, Mr. President-elect, from a tidal wave of BS you're about to hear about why you need to let the CIA overthrow this guy. And she's doing her best. I mean, she's bad on Iran. It's not she's Ron Paul or anything. But she's certainly good on this issue. She's certainly trying. But, you know, Trump is surrounded by all conventional wisdom. I mean, you know, in the scheme of things, yes, I prefer that we have a State Department leader from Exxon instead of from the Likud party in Israel, since those are my only two choices, apparently. But that means that he's just got an absolute centrist, you know, Richard Haass Council on Foreign Relations, basically Colin Powell type view of the world, which is let's administer our world empire in a little bit smarter way rather than going completely nuts and doing stupid Paul Wolfowitz type projects. You know, that's not much of an improvement at all. And then the entire rest of the war cabinet are all generals. And in fact, Dunford, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and Kelly, the head of the Secretary of Homeland Security, they're both Marine Corps generals who used to serve under James Mattis, the Marine Corps general who is the Secretary of Defense.
So what's
these three men versus the world is what it really is. And Trump is putty in their hands. He is their humble servant.
Okay, they're, here we go. We got the what we always wanted. If we were in charge, just go whip ass and we're going to end. To do what? What is their shtick, man? What are they looking to do?
Well, it's just like in the last Cold War. You remember it better than I do. I mean, I remember the 80s, but you could probably even remember the 70s and maybe even the 60s there, Ernie. It's all about selling airplanes. And this is the part where you stopped me, where I was going to say it was all about getting Bill Clinton elected in 1996. And it was also about selling Lockheed products to American taxpayers. Not that we get a choice. We're the captive market. And there's a guy named Bruce Jackson, who was an executive vice president at Lockheed, who in the 1990s set up the Committee for NATO Expansion. And all it was a bunch of taxpayer money laundered through Lockheed Martin Incorporated into a bunch of think tank, into this particular think tank and a bunch more, to argue for just whatever reason, any excuse they could come up with to expand NATO so that America can, so the American government will force the American taxpayer to give cash money to Lockheed. That's it. And in fact, Bruce Jackson, the guy who is as guilty as Bill Clinton in getting into this, and George W. Bush and Barack Obama, for that matter, at getting us into this mess, is now good on it and is now saying, man, we shouldn't be pushing to put Ukraine in NATO. This is crazy. You're going to start a nuclear war with Russia, dude. You know, you can't do this. This is way a bridge too far. I never said bring Ukraine in. Yeah, thanks a lot, Bruce. Nobody's listening to him now that he's preaching restraint. But let me say a little bit more about the 1990s here real quick. In 1996, all of your worst war hawks of your lifetime, Robert McNamara and Paul Nitze and all the Russia experts of Washington, D.C. in the 1990s era, and including Bill Clinton's currently then serving Secretary of Defense William Perry, said don't expand NATO. I mean, Bill Clinton did this over William Perry's dead body. I mean, imagine that. His Secretary of Defense is the most nuclear weapons wonk, Russia wonk in the whole government, right? This guy William Perry, that's his reputation. He's just, these are his bread and butter issues. He's got 160 IQ. This is all he cares about, nuclear war game theory kind of crap. And he's telling Bill Clinton, don't do this. And Bill Clinton did it anyway. And Paul Nitze, the guy who said containment isn't good enough, we need to roll back Soviet communism, said, it worked. We did it. Soviet communism is gone. These are the men who overthrew Soviet communism for us. Thanks, guys. Why would we extend our military alliance? NATO might be a social club to Madeleine Albright, where she gets to have drinks with and get attention and pats on the head from other important people. But in reality, it's a military alliance. And what we're doing is we're expanding our military alliance right up to Russia's border. And all the people who said, no, it won't be a problem, we're not threatening Russia, are now the ones saying, just as these men predicted back in the 90s, are now the ones saying that Russia's reaction is the justification after the fact.
A speech that Putin gave that I wanted to talk to you about when we come back. But we'll do it in the break. Go to the archive, because there was something I wanted to bring up. We'll be right back. Scott Horton. Okay, This is it was a couple of weeks ago. It was when Trump did that impromptu press conference, and he had the gold curtains behind him or something, you know, and he was, you know, slapping, you know, CNN around and everything. And it was the first one that he, since he got, you know, inaugurated, that he went out and just kind of, you know, off the cuff. And I thought he did really well. Now, of course, they pull out whatever, you know, to make fun of. But I, if you watch the whole thing, he kicked butt pretty good. But at the same time, there was a article I put up right by a video of Putin going, explaining it to a gaggle of press guys after a BBC guy got up and said, you know, say that you'll do everything you can not to have war because of Ukraine. Say you'll give up Ukraine. Say that you'll capitulate to the West's demands of, you'll say it, say it. You know, and he's like, God, what the hell are you guys talking about? He goes, why are we always the bad guy? They mass on our border and do this. They do this. They do that. They do it. We defend and we're the bad guys. You know, we're the bad guys. How are we the bad guys? You know, so he kept going on about this. And I'm just wondering, it seems to me that their Western press, it's the same thing they've always done, is they're part of this flame up trying to create a controversy or something. And then you have Trump going, yeah, they think that we can't do a deal because we're controlled by all the deep state. They think that we can. And he goes, no, we're going to do a deal. Are they going to do a deal, or is Trump getting sucked in with these guys to go start some more war somewhere?
Well, it's the $64 zillion question, man. I mean, I don't know what he's going to do. So far, you're right. In that press conference, he stuck by the statement that we should get along with Russia. I think it would be great if we got along with Russia. Let's get along with them, what have you. So you could argue, I mean, this is all still future fortune telling, but you could argue that, yeah, he plans on having a deal. The reason that he's not saying the right things about Crimea yet, in fact, saying the wrong thing, that Russia has to give Crimea back to Ukraine and this kind of thing, is it's just the Trumpian dialectic and the art of the deal. And maybe they are going to have a deal where America recognizes that it's absolutely a fait accompli. I mean, this is a done deal. Russia is never giving back Crimea, ever, no matter what. Even if we nuke Moscow, they're not giving back Crimea. So we should recognize that fact. And in exchange for, you know, I don't know, Obama's same policy of trying to ally with Russia against the Islamic State, back off Assad and just attack the Islamic State in Syria. I mean, I'm against that. I fear that, you know, would be part of the deal. This is part of why Osama had his men attacking us in the 1990s and leading up to September 11th was, according to him, our support for Russia in their wars against Muslims. And we just shouldn't be taking either side in this. And that's the problem, of course, right? Is, as Ron Paul says, we either bribe you or we bomb you. But how about we just leave these people alone? How about we don't pick a fight with Russia, and also we don't ally with them against the Islamic State or anyone else? Why can't we just call this whole thing off? That's the answer. But now, whether Trump is determined enough to do this over the dead bodies of the rest of the entire American political establishment and in the middle of this massive propaganda campaign, I don't know. I mean, they've admitted, they said in the Washington Post, their plan is to just hit him with a tidal wave of Russia accusations to hem him in so that he can't make these choices. That's not just his accusation. That's their own words of what they're trying to do here.
Oh.
So, you know, I don't know, man. I mean, if I was him, I would just go right over their heads, just as he has done all along. Go to Twitter and go and give a speech from the Oval Office straight to the American people. And just say, look, the CIA and the FBI and all these guys are liars. The Washington Post are liars. They want another Cold War, just like the bad old days.
All right, we're coming back.
There are those that just want to be left alone. And those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Somebody's wanting to drop a bomb on somebody. I just don't know, you know, to what benefit or reason or how or why. It's amazing to me that they didn't waste any time, man. They just started right off wanting to get Trump involved in something. And how's he holding up? Do you think he's... See, this is... All right. Let me go ahead and make this comment while I'm thinking about it. My point yesterday on the, you know, 5+ hours of Trump report. I mean, that's after editing, and we went on. It was Davi Barker, me, and Dr. Frank Tamburi. And my thing, I'm just going. I'm seeing that this Trump administration is it him defending America and the people against the deep state, or is he negotiating with them? And I'm wondering what it is that he's negotiating for, and he's negotiating with, you know, their access to my goodies and rights and debt and all this stuff. And he went with the address to Congress, and it seems like he was checking off all the, if I looked at speeches from every president for the last 30 years, it was, I love me some Israel. We are going to increase spending in the infrastructure of the, you know, inner cities of, you know, kind of the poor and whatever. Then we have, we're going to police the world, and we still got to have, you know, our, you know, America in her interest kind of crap. And it was come together. I mean, it seemed like, you know, all of the checked off boxes that you have to be just like everybody else. And when he did that, I think they're going to, all of a sudden, his cabinet appointments are going to start flowing through. They're going to come up with some kind of a tax reduction thing, something. It's going to be Obamacare. And in exchange for what? I want to see what's on the table and how it's being negotiated. But it seems like the one big giant chip that has to be there is we got to have a shooting war somewhere. And it seems like a minimum job requirement for a president.
Well, that's fine. I mean, we already have a few going on.
Nah,
I think I told you this a year and a half ago, man, that what's going to happen is he wants to back off the regime change wars against the secular governments. But he's going to have a terror war from Morocco to the Philippines. He's going to bomb Afghanistan ceaselessly for 8 years. He's going to bomb Iraq and Syria ceaselessly for 8 years. We're going to have probably another war in Libya against the Islamic State there. And, you know, in other words, probably we're not going to see George W. Bush 3rd Infantry Division invasions of countries like Iraq. But what you are going to see is SOCOM and JSOC and CIA rampaging all across the entire Muslim world, making enemies and then destroying them and then making some more and then destroying them some more. And then the trade-off is, you know, probably for the Air Force and the Navy and the military-industrial complex, you could still have your pivot to Asia and your massive buildup there. And for the Army, you can still invade Africa, I guess special forces at least. And then the rest, hopefully, you know, he means to placate them with spending. And then the trade-off, if we're extremely lucky, the trade-off will be Trump basically giving the national security state everything they want in the world except Cold War with Russia. And that actually we are going to tamp things down. We're going to announce that, no, we have no intention of bringing Ukraine into NATO ever and, you know, pull our troops out of the Baltics and Poland where they don't belong, and the Balkans, too. They're putting troops all over the Balkans and everywhere, and start reversing that policy. That's if we're extremely lucky. But you know what? I mean, we're running an article on antiwar.com today by Gilbert Doctorow saying Trump retreats on detente with Russia. You know, there are many indications coming in that ultimately his war cabinet has sway. And, you know, McMaster, his whole, you know, reason for being in the military is he is the expert, supposedly, on how to fight a tank war with Russia in Eastern Europe. And, you know, he's the new national security advisor. This is his specialty. And in fact, there's speeches where he goes on and on explaining what supposedly is so wrong with the Russians. And I may have mentioned this to you before, Ernie, but there's this great Pentagon reporter named Mark Perry, and I've interviewed him quite a few times, and he's sort of a realist slash paleocon type. And I asked him, hey, man, when all these, because he wrote a great piece about McGregor and McMaster and their fight inside the army over how best to fight a war with Russia in Eastern Europe. And I said to Mark Perry, like, come on, these guys know they're lying at least, right? Like Obama, when he lies, you know he knows he's lying. At least there's that. You know he's operating. He's living in the same real world as you. He's just doing the wrong thing. But, you know, these army guys, they know that America overthrew the government of Ukraine twice in 10 years. And the second time they did it, they used literal Hitler-loving Nazis to do it. And they threatened to take the Sevastopol naval base on the Crimean Peninsula away from the Russians. I mean, they know that that's what precipitated the Russian seizure of Crimea in 2014, right? And Mark Perry says to me, like, hey, I'm sorry, kid, but no. I mean, these guys believe their own lies. They are so caught up in the idea that they are defending Europe and America and the world from from Ronchevist Russia, the rise and the return of Russian global power, that, you know, it's sort of like with Saddam. You know, you got some people who know that they're lying, and you have everybody else who's just kind of bought into the sloganeering and everything that, like, come on. Global consensus is that Saddam Hussein is the greatest threat to peace on Earth. Everybody knows that, Ernie. The only question is, do we attack him now, or do we give the inspections a little bit more time and then attack him then? And it's the same sort of thing here with Putin.
Well,
Putin.
I'm looking at, you know, all of these
where's his aggression?
I'm looking at, well, that's exactly what you're seeing here. Red alert on U.S. destroyer in the Black Sea as Russian jets buzz aggressively overhead just yards above deck. And you look at the video, and of course, it's two Russian jets going by the fleet or a ship. You know, they got to zoom in on the video, and I'm just, you know, I'm... What do you think was going to happen? They're not going to fly. I mean, it's just amping it up. You know, give me the pictures. I'll give you the war. I mean, it seems.
Yeah, exactly. Which sea are they in again? This all happened in the Gulf of Mexico, where
the Black Sea.
Russian destroyers off the coast of Corpus Christi. Oh, I'm sorry. No, it's the exact opposite of that, where we can do anything we want to anyone. But how dare they see it the exact same way we would if they did it to us?
Yeah, even on the, you know, like Prison Planet or, you know, Alex Jones stuff and everything, they'll have all these things. Russian Ambassador Sergei Kislyak appeared as Obama's White House visitor at least 22 times. And I'm going, so he's a Russian ambassador. Well, I care. You know, Russian Ambassador Kislyak attended Trump congressional speech Tuesday, and he sat with the Democrats. You know, there I'm going, what does that mean?
Well,
I don't
sounds
care.
Like they're just calling out the double standard.
Yeah, is there some meeting scheduled between Trump and Putin? Weren't they talking about they were going to be all buds somewhere?
I wish, you know. I mean, I don't know. No, I don't think that they ever got that far. In fact, the latest scandal, the one that broke last night after the so-called Sessions scandal, which, you know, I'll debunk that for you if you want. But the next one is that, oh, no, Jared Kushner met with the guy, too. And, oh, my God, it's the biggest deal in the world. And then you read the New York Times story. And what were they meeting about? They were meeting about setting up a line of communication, you know, for further discussions and diplomacy in the future after the Trump administration's inaugurated. Huh? Mike Flynn, oh, he had to resign. Huge scandal. He talked on the phone to the guy, and possibly the word sanctions was mentioned. But in the worst case accusation against Flynn, what he said was, oh, yeah, the sanctions that Obama's putting on you now and kicking your ambassadors and stuff out of the country and your spies out of the country, don't worry about that. You know, don't overreact too much. We're going to be inaugurated. We just won the election. We're going to be inaugurated in a few weeks, and then we're going to revisit all of this stuff. Does that sound like treason to you? This is the designated national security advisor and a lieutenant general in the U.S. Army, the heroic St. David Petraeus's right-hand man, Mike Flynn here, McChrystal's right-hand man, Mike Flynn, who is the designated national security advisor of the president-elect of the United States. There's no scandal there, and there's clearly no scandal with Sessions meeting with him as the ranking member of the Armed Services Committee in the Senate.
Okay, you know, one thing we need to talk about.
There's some scandal here. There's not.
When we come back, I want to talk about the Sessions thing. You know, there's, you know, some buzz. He was on Tucker Carlson yakking with him. And I don't know. That's why we talked to Scott Horton. We'll be right back. Yeah, this, okay, this is my spiel. As I go through all the news sites and we select stuff that goes up on Freedom's Phoenix, I am resistant to put up the stuff that I can see that is forced news just to create an aura of I'm not BSing my readers. I mean, I'll wait 3 days and put up the article that shows that it was all bullshit, you know, and I go, look, see, more bullshit. It was always BS from the beginning. And I'll go, look, this is it. So that's kind of my bias is that I don't believe anything these guys are saying anyway. It's always for some effect. So I'm wondering how much we're supposed to pay attention to these guys posturing themselves on who the threat is and what we got to move, and oh my God, they did this, yeah, and they raped the whatever, and they took off and somebody in the immigrant oven. And it's all gamesmanship. And I can,
yeah, and it's tiresome. I understand it is. I mean, but that's the thing. I mean, to me, in this case, the story against Sessions, about Sessions, isn't even about Sessions. The story is that the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, and the Washington Post all put out a hit on this guy on the same day over some fake-ass accusations of some non-scandal, and then make it look like, oh, it's the world's greatest perjury, and he's going to have to resign, and all of this stuff, when the whole thing basically amounts to nothing but a hoax. I mean, I unfortunately was driving around running errands yesterday listening to NPR News, and I swear for like an hour, they talked about this without ever mentioning once that Sessions' spokesman responded and said X. He has an explanation. That was not included in the news. Every discussion started with, oh my God, so is he going to have to resign now or resign later? Should we let the inspections last? You know, all of his arguing past the sale, in other words. Oh, my God. The level of felony that Sessions committed here, expert professor guest, will he be prosecuted or not? And it's like, wait a goddamn minute. What is the accusation? The accusation is that the ambassador came to meet with him in his Senate office in front of three staffers, two of whom were former Army officers. And he also met with 15 other ambassadors in the same year. And they discussed everything completely above board that had nothing whatsoever to do with the Trump campaign for president. Is that the perjury you're talking about? That's the perjury they're talking about. They might as well be saying that, oh, yeah, well, whatever. Because how far can a grasshopper kick a pickle off a peanut butter and jelly sandwich? Where the whole thing is just a non sequitur. It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything.
Oh,
by the way, I just put a link in your Skype to my debunking of this all BS from
which
yesterday.
Doesn't do me one little bit of good because it's not connected to any of my other I can, you know, forward
well, go
from.
To, just do this. Go just news. Send it to news.antiwar.com. And then if you page down, the story is called Major Papers Target AG Sessions. That one's by me.
All right. Hold on a second. I got to finish.
So news.antiwar.com. And then it's from yesterday, though. You'll have to page down a little bit.
news.antiwar.com. Boom. All right, it's what's it called?
Major Papers Target AG Sessions Over Russia.
All right, cool. So all right, we're coming back.
That's my report on the news. And that's my very long answer to your question.
That's facebook.lrn.fm.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Okay, right in the middle of it, we got to find out what's going on. Scott Horton has wrote an article, Major Papers Target AG Sessions Over Russia. And this is, they're trying to make a big deal out of something. And I'm going, all right, so what's the big deal? Well, Scott Horton will read my article. Well, give me the cliff notes, man. Go.
All right. Okay, so the news is not that AG Sessions did anything wrong. And I'm no fan of Sessions any more than probably anyone in the world is a fan of Sessions. I'm only defending the truth from liars here, okay? Sessions was an advisor to the Trump campaign. And as a reward, he got the job as attorney general, right? He supported Trump early on. And he also, of course, is a Republican senator and a rank. I don't know if he was the chair or second place to the chair of the Senate. Oh, I guess McCain is the chair. So he was the runner up to the chair of the Armed Services Committee in the Senate. And so what happened was during his confirmation hearings, Senator Al Franken, I know that's really a thing. It's been a thing for like a decade, but I still can't get used to it. Senator Al Franken said, well, so do you have any information about the Trump campaign meeting with the Russians? And he said, no. And I was part of the Trump campaign. I was a surrogate of the Trump campaign and I never met with the Russians. And as far as I know, nobody else did. I don't know. Something like that. So they went back and found this. And Al Franken goes, aha, perjury. Because it turns out that Sessions, well, and this is the Washington Post comes out with the story, that Sessions actually did meet with the Russians once after a speech at the Heritage Foundation for a couple of minutes off to the side, and once in his Senate office. Well, according to him, yeah, but that was in my role as a senator. The question was, did I meet or do I know of anyone in the Trump campaign who met with the Russians as a surrogate of the Trump campaign? And the answer to that is still no. And I think if you watch it, and I think if you watch his explanation of it, and if you read his spokeswoman's explanation of what went on here, that he's not like being cynical and being Bill Clinton and playing with words here. He actually is legitimately, he answered the question honestly in the first place. And now he's saying, oh, okay. I mean, I guess I see what you mean, that like maybe I could have said, well, yeah, I met with them as in my role on the Armed Services Committee, but I did not meet with them in my role on as part of the Trump campaign or whatever. He could have said that. But anyway, this whole thing still amounts to nothing because, as he said in his press conference yesterday, yeah, I met with them. They asked for an appointment. I meet with ambassadors all the time, you know, dozens of them from all over the world. They come and meet with me. And in this case, I met with them with two senior staffers, both of whom are former Army or whatever he said, military officers. In other words, no-nonsense patriot adults with security clearance met with him too. And he said there may have been a junior staffer there as well. And they talked about some things, none of which had anything to do with rigging the damned election for Donald Trump or lifting the sanctions in some quid pro quo or anything like that. And so, in other words, there is no perjury. Right. In other words, it's a total non-crime. It's like if you caught me in a technicality, I described the wrong side of the street I was walking on to go do my oregano deal. Well, oregano's not contraband, and it's okay to buy and sell oregano.
So what were they saying was the problem?
My error is meaningless.
This is the problem because what? He met with these guys to what? See, you met with them because of what? And it's like they're talking. That's why, I guess why, you know, Prison Planet is promoting the fact that 22 times this Russian ambassador guy met with Obama, and he sat with the Democrats at the speech to Congress by Trump, and they're making, what's the big deal? They're looking at any and everything, and I'm wondering what they are accusing him happened. You guys met, so
right,
what?
Nothing. They have absolutely nothing on him, Ernie. That's the whole thing. It's pure innuendo. If you go and follow the links in my article and read the Washington Post and the Wall Street Journal jobs on this. The New York Times is a slightly different story about the Obama bots and stuff like this, about the so-called theft of the election. But if you read the Wall Street Journal and the Washington Post stories about Sessions' meetings with these guys, they don't even pretend to accuse him of doing anything wrong at all, other than not perfectly clearly explaining the whole truth to Al Franken months later. Full stop. And there is no accusation. In fact, here's as close as they come to an accusation. The Washington Post version passes on a total rumor. And they say, well, you know, the effort of the FBI to figure out what's going on here reflects the belief of some in the Obama administration that possibly the Trump campaign was working with the Russians to help him win the election. An allegation which is so far unproven. Oh, yeah, really? That's because it's a stupid lie. It's unproven because there's no proof, because it's not true. But they have the balls to put that in the middle of a Washington Post article that, well, you know, one of the things that some people believe is that Trump and the Russians were working together on a coup d'etat to overthrow Hillary Clinton's, legitimate coronation here. Holy crap. And they don't even pretend to back it up. And the Wall Street Journal article in the second paragraph says, yeah, the FBI looked at this. Whether they thought that there was ever anything to it is unknown.
Okay,
are you
now this is
me?
Well, I'm wondering, because during his speech, I got the impression that he was checking off boxes. And then afterwards, you have all the, the CNN guys going, oh, he just became president in that one moment of whatever the hell. And I'm going, why would they say that unless they had permission or they got the green light because he said the right thing and said Islamo fascist terrorism or something. You know, there were a bunch of checkoffs that I could see from experience on these that you got to say you love Israel. You got to say that you're going to spend more money on military. You got to say that you're going to do the infrastructure. You got to say, you know what I mean? You go check, 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 check. Oh, he's the most presidential guy ever in the whole world now because he capitulated to checking off boxes. And yeah.
Well, that's not what it was. You know what it really was?
What?
And you can read Sheldon Richman's great article at the Libertarian Institute site today about this. And it's, in fact, the term was coined by Andrew Bacevich, the Church of America, the Redeemer. And what's going on here is that Trump deferred and did the customary worship of the dead military idol who he sent to kill innocent civilians and get killed doing so in Yemen. Navy SEAL, I forget, was a Delta operator and Navy SEAL.
Yeah, and nobody ever even said, they never asked, why were we in Yemen?
It has nothing to do with it. He was there protecting the country. You'd be dead right now, Ernie, if that guy wasn't over there killing those children, whatever, whatever. All that just goes without saying. And what Trump did was he did the exact proper genuflecting. As Sheldon put it to me on the phone actually this morning, he's not the God. He's the high priest. The U.S. state is God. And Trump got up there at the ceremonial post in front of both houses of Congress in that same position as all the favorite presidents before. And he said presidential things about, you know, basically worshiping those who kill for the state. And that's really what did it. And Van Jones on CNN said, oh, my God, dude, that's the moment that he became the president.
Yeah, you don't say that kind of stuff.
You know,
you don't say that kind of stuff on CNN and do this right after and do it without getting the green light.
It was an honest emotional reaction, Ernie. He did not get marching orders to do that. He fell in love with Dear Leader because he's a liberal Democrat.
Okay, wait. I disagree. I totally disagree. He may have had a genuine emotional thing, but he has either had the green light to say it, or he was given the instruction to say it, or he was allowed to say it, or he was kissing his career goodbye on CNN. I guarantee it. I don't even have to watch it. Don't care.
The same thing. No, man. I mean, look, honestly, if you look at Twitter that night, all different mainstream media people were saying, wowee, you know, this is his most presidential moment and that kind of thing. Just because that's how they think, man.
Yeah, really?
Simple as that.
Say, you know,
we're
going to look
impressed.
For a two-state solution. Boom. That wouldn't have been said. We're going to look for kind of, you know, help and kind of be fair with, you know, whatever and do and pull out of Syria. Boom. That wouldn't have been said. We're going to go
ahead.
That's
not what it was. What it was a standing ovation for the widow of a dead war hero,
right.
Man.
Right. For what?
Because
he
that's how you
what?
Save your soul. That's
he
how
died
you live
for
forever
what?
In America.
What
you
was he doing?
State.
What was he doing? Why was he there? How are we saved? What? None of these things go up. It's just a stunt. And I'm going, so
no,
we're
it's
worse.
It's a religious ceremony.
Yep. All right. I'm seeing
He's
this game played out.
He's our church's new minister.
I'm sorry?
He's our church's new minister. And we like him after all. He ain't so bad.
Yeah, because he.
That's what they were thinking.
Because he went through the right, checked off the boxes.
That's right. Because he read out of the right script. Exactly.
I'm, you know, to what end? I have no idea.
Unlimited power.
For him or to keep the country or.
Well, they share it.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. We'll
be
right back.
The world empire right there, man.
Hi. I'm Derek J.
I wasn't comfortable with this. I mean, this is the Trump supporters were all freaked out because they go, see, they finally saw for the first. You know, we played a clip from Rush Limbaugh, you know, because this clip had a big influence on Frank because he was taking, you know, that bullet point that, you know, Rush Limbaugh did. And he was just, you know, beating the crap out of it on the show. And it was basically this. The liberal left has never even heard or paid any attention to Trump. They just regurgitate whatever they're told to say by the left media, whatever, and they don't know. Well, they don't see, you know, what he really, they don't see the support he had. They didn't go to the rallies. They're not paying attention to this. They're just watching MSNBC, and all they're doing is that one lone guy with a camo floppy hat, you know, carrying a, you know, a hand-scrawled, you know, Trump sign, and it's a failure. I mean, it's just all this kind of crap. This is the first time that they saw him be presidential. And I'm going, okay, right. What made him presidential? Honoring a SEAL that was killed in a raid in Yemen for God knows what, for however, and we're all going to kind of, and he, oh, in that moment, as he, you know, glorified killing in other countries and so on, he's president. And they need right. to push
it's
that.
It's the scene. It's the scene. You're totally on point right here, man. This is reality TV. He's standing up there in front of the giant American flag, in front of both houses of Congress, in front of the vice president and the speaker of the House. Just like Ronald Reagan, just like Bill Clinton. Wow. People, I mean, especially these Washington, D.C. media people, they love leadership, man. It's just like Oliver Stone, right? Oliver Stone can even make a movie about Nixon where at the end of the movie you love the guy. And the reason why is because Oliver Stone loves presidents, all of them. He loves the presidency. And if you hear him talk about it, this is Americanism distilled. I mean, the problem is, Ernie, you've been too good on this shit for too long. This kind of PR doesn't work on you, and you've been immune to it for so long. You forget what it's like to believe, yeah. You know?
But, well, I'm but seeing that. Do. I'm seeing that it's changed. I mean, a lot of the, you know, Generation Next guy, they just abandon, you know, even playing by allowing their eyeballs and ears to be subjected to. And I'm going, that you look at the numbers, the media is just diminishing. And even in this last election, when you got them all combined, they're freaking out. They're going, oh my God, we have, you know, 12 million people watching cable news out of 350. And they say, and I'm like, who gives a crap? Seriously, this is, it's based on, and half of them are one way or another. And then you got, so you're down to like, I don't know, making a difference, a few million people. I don't see it. It's like fictitious, you know, paying attention to Merlin up on a stage or Copperfield, you know, making elephants disappear. It's just a distraction.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think typically speaking, I probably err one way and you the other on just how competent these guys are. I mean, I think I used to really, in the 1990s, especially, you know, when I was a kid, I was a lot more of a conspiracy theorist. And really what cured me of it was learning about libertarianism and really understanding well the premise, that Misesian premise of how man acts and how these people do what they do. And really learning even just the briefest kind of sketch of public choice theory economics about how these people behave and the Peter principle of the most incompetent rise to the top first and just how perverse priorities can be. Have you ever read Catch 22 by Joseph Heller?
I watched the movie.
Oh yeah. No, you got to read the book because this is the good war, the war everybody believes in or whatever. Yeah. But then Heller shows you that man was World War II, the biggest big government program that you could imagine. And wasn't it? And it was run like one, like in your worst nightmare. You know, it was absolutely nothing to believe in at all. And he tells it in a funny way, but, you know, these people will get you killed for what they think is right when they don't know their ass from a hole in the ground. And they really, again, back to like what Mark Perry was saying, when I said to Mark Perry, but Mark, I mean, they know that this is their fault. They know that they're basically just lying and pretending so that they can get a promotion and so that they can sell some Lockheed products. Right. But I mean, it is a put on. And Mark Perry's going, no, they believe their own put on here. I mean, they go home every night and tell themselves what great liars they are. No, they rationalize and justify. Attitude follows behavior, not the other way around. So, you know, if a cop shoots an unarmed black guy, then he knows he had to. And if a warmonger tries to pick a fight with Russia all day at work in Washington, D.C., then he knows that it's to defend civilization from their aggression. That's how people are. That's how they think. And most of them, like George Carlin said, you look how stupid the average person is and realize half of them are stupider than that. You know? And in fact, if they're a little bit smarter than that, they're even more dangerous because now they think they're smart. Holy crap. Now they're making even worse decisions because they don't even have the humility of knowing what dumbasses they are.
Yeah. I'm sitting here watching this and I just see history because I'm old enough to see this repeat, and they just, you know, it's like, you know, wash, rinse, repeat kind of thing. And it's the same thing over and over, and you could recognize, and it's obvious. It's just like, that we got a new crowd. I mean, we drove out a lot of people. They're cynical. They don't want to play. But then they showed up for a Trump kind of thing, and it'll make them cynical again. And the only people that know how that the game is being played are the people that are playing it or keep doing it. But you're saying they think they're saving America or whatever their version of it is. And I just...
Well, I'm not trying to plead innocence on their behalf so much as just to say I don't think it makes sense to say that it's all some kind of master plan. I mean, mostly what you have is a bunch of people doing the wrong thing for their own reasons is really what I'm getting.
Yeah. Well,
so it's not to say that, oh, the Iraq War was a big mistake. It wasn't a mistake. They did it on purpose. But does that mean the results of the war that only the Ayatollah and Osama won it was what they wanted in the first place? No, dude. The war was supposed to be easy. It was supposed to turn out where we were the big beneficiaries of the war. That's why they started it. People don't start wars to lose them, you know? But that doesn't mean that they're innocent. It just means that they're as stupid as they are guilty.
Stupid as they are guilty. All right, I get to my next hour. Thanks, Scott. Talk to you next week.
Thanks, Ernie. Appreciate it, man.
Bye.
Defiant disorder, or ODD. Symptoms of ODD include independent thought, rampant creativity, and failure to submit to authority. But now there's a solution. The good people at Pilfer can help you with their time-release, once-daily capsule, Compliacin. Your child won't be able to form his own opinions, let alone express them. It maintains your child's ability to go to a state-run school and perform simple tasks around the house. You won't have to worry about parenting, and the school won't have to deal with your kid asking questions. Compliacin. You'll go from this.
Nobody owns me. Quit telling me what to do! Quit telling me what to do! Quit telling me what to do!
To this.
Good morning, Mother. I love going to school. And this week, we're learning all about how the government is our federal family and they're here to help us.
Compliacin. Talk to your school psychiatrist and ask for it by name.